Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football spotted at the one. Now, they tried the tush push at the end of the first half, and the ruling was that they didn't make it. Let's see what they do right here. Again, they're in the same formation going for two. Hurts under center. Hurts in a long count. They push and they shove, and we have not been told yet.
They're waving it off again.
Is it time to say goodbye, Hugh?
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't know. Last Sunday was eye-opening. Sometimes you got to know when to say goodbye.
See, here's the thing, man. It was the perfect storm Sunday. Mm. Off of a lot of controversy a few weeks ago. We thought we were out of the woods. I'm trying to be logical in these situations. Why are you looking at me like I'm good and crazy right now?
We don't deal in that.
Did you not hit the sign today? Leave logic at home.
I didn't hit the sign. I forgot to hit the sign.
It's like at Notre Dame. Play like a champion.
I forgot to hit the sign. Forgot to hit the sign. But no, I don't think it's the end of the tush push. I think what happened last weekend was, I guess this is another bad analogy time.
Oh, here we go.
Because you don't play video games, but Madden. In Madden.
Well, I play Madden. I mean, not recently, but
yeah, but it's like in Madden, you know, you tend to run a play that's money, you know, because you feel like, you know, something happened, it didn't work, and you keep running it. So we got kind of exhausted with the tush push. It didn't help that after a while people started booing either.
Well, it is interesting because last week they got stopped twice, right? Yeah. And now you look at the numbers, they're under 80%. This should be a 95 to 98% play.
Yeah, it was money. It was a money play.
80.
It 70, was like running Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl when
that
you ran
was a money
off.
Play.
Yeah, that was a money play.
So 78 is still a decent play, right? That's 78% is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not money. I mean, it's not a guarantee. So this week, a lot of talk about this tush push situation. Is it done? And are we seeing the end? And are you tired of it? I mean, I'm ready for some different plays here. I mean, like, we've seen this a lot. Now, again, if they have a fourth and an inch or 5 inches, 6 inches, and you feel good about it and they got their whole offensive line back.
You have tush-push fatigue.
I do have some tush-push fatigue. I do. I mean, I'm ready for something new.
What do you say? Snoopy fatigue?
I don't call it Snoopy.
Snoopy fatigue.
All right, so this week we had some heavy hitters weigh in on what the heck's going on here with the tush-push. First, let's look at Jason Kelce. Did the Jaguars do something here? Did they figure it out? Let's hear from Kelce earlier this week.
Man, I don't know. I think that they had a very good game plan for it moving in. That's what I'll say. I don't want to, like, you know, give up any, you know, potential.
Yeah.
Noise. No one would want you to say that.
Exactly.
No one wants you to say something that could help the Dallas Cowboys win this game. Okay.
Correct.
So please don't. Yeah. Let me just. You think though it's possible Jags figure something out? Possible.
I think the Jags had a good plan. I still think the Eagles can execute it and operate it against anybody. I think that missing Jordan Mulata.
Sure.
So that was interesting because it sounded to me like Kelce saw something that maybe Jacksonville did. And then Joe stopped him before he gave it away on the air, which the Cowboys probably wouldn't even pay attention to. But whatever. Like he kind of alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. Then Sheil Kapadia was on, and Sheil gave what he thought. And I wonder if he and Jason saw it similar. Here's Sheil Kapadia on maybe what was going on with the Jaguars getting the best of the Eagles in the tush push.
And the brotherly shove thing is very interesting to me. You know, you watch it. And the Jaguars kind of employed this technique where they kind of did this own shove on their own, where they kind of had their linebackers shoving the defensive tackles. And I looked at that and thought, you know, Are they solving something here, or is this just kind of a random week where it's not working? Did somebody's foot slip? Is it because Jordan Mailata's not in there? So I do think that's something that the Eagles have to analyze this week, because they've had such a luxury here over the last couple of years of short yardage. They haven't really had to worry about it.
So Shiel pointed out that the Jaguars use the defensive push. It's push versus push. Shiel.
Mm-hmm. That's how I see it. I don't know the intricacies of the tush push, but it's when I look at it, it looks like it's momentum, and the size differential is what really helps. And I think Jason said something to that effect. You don't have Jordan Mailata out there. When you look at most of the times when the Eagles have success with the tush push across the board, the big guys, they outweigh the team that they're going against, big guys, for the most part. When you look at Jacksonville's line, they're pretty big. They're pretty stout across the front, like from their defensive ends to their D tackles. They're big guys. And I think that was one of the factors why Jacksonville was able to have so much success against it. A lot of times it's matchups, and that's how I see it. Now, the Dallas Cowboys have a little bit smaller defensive line compared to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's still an effective play, no question about it. It's just the way that you implement it against certain teams.
So I think we might be nearing the end of this thing being a lock as a play. So quarterback sneaks as a whole. Like yesterday we had a caller call in and basically tried to give Sirianni credit for creating the tush push as if it's like the West Coast offense or something special here.
Yeah, I heard that.
Quarterback sneaks over the last 10 years have been successful like 85%.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to, the tush push gave us a little bit of an advantage, right? We took 85 and made it 95. If it's coming back down to like 80%, then they got to stop running this play. It's not worth it anymore.
I don't know.
But
I think a regular quarterback
sneaks 85. If we're at 80, then why are we doing this play?
Well, I think it's unique to the Eagles.
Sure.
Number one.
Yeah, but if it doesn't work.
And I think that it didn't work last week, Joe.
Well, no, they're at 78% for the season.
We've seen a whole lot of it too, and teams know that if you're in a certain situation, if you're in a short yardage situation, they're gonna try to run it.
So it's interesting you said that. So you said we've seen a lot of it. You know, on average, they're running it more this year than they did last year. We're doing more tush pushes this year. They ran it 38 times last season. They're already at 23. We're only how many games into the season? They're 6-2 at 8, right? They still have 9 games to play. They're on pace to go at more tush pushes this year.
That's a lot of tush pushes.
It's a lot of tush pushing. All right, let's hear from Dick Vermeil this morning, who talked about this, and does he think this thing's about to get stopped? Here's Vermeil this morning.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the play because, we all talk about, keeping your head up in football. When you look at that play, half the players have their head down, bent under. And so I'm not a big fan of it, but it was successful. It'll be successful again. But you got to give defensive people credit. There's nothing wrong with giving Barkley the ball on 4th and 1.
You want to give Barkley the ball, give him the ball.
Well, that's a way out of the tush push. Do something different. All right, 215-592-9494. Your take on the tush push. Are you tired of it, Kyle?
I'm getting a little bit sick of it. I have a great idea for the Eagles.
I want to hear it.
How about we get a first down on first down? Instead of getting in these situations where we have 1 yard all the time, it seems like that's happening way too much.
Well, it feels like almost like they planned for it. Like, we only need 7 here because we'll just do the tush push.
Sure, and I remember the Sirianni saying 1st and 9, which was cool. And that was great. We rallied behind the 1st and 9. But I'm wondering if they have another 4th and short play in their bag. This is kind of a confession here on Friday of Dallas week. But I have a friend who's a Cowboys fan, unfortunately.
Acquaintance.
Yeah, maybe on the air you just call him someone you know.
Acquaintance.
Okay. I know a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, you don't say he's your friend.
It's too late.
That's a lot.
But obviously they have experience with Kellen Moore.
Sure.
And when we hired him, I remember him telling me, if you have a 4th and short play or a short yardage play and you need it, like a 3rd down and 1, 4th and 2 or something, you are going to be pulling your hair out at Kellen Moore's play calls.
So this isn't his expertise.
I mean, clearly not. We know the tush push is not Kellen Moore's, right? That's an Eagles. I don't know if it's before Sirianni, predates Sirianni. I think Doug and Stoutland maybe are the architects behind it. Either way, like, I don't it almost feels like a crutch at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And a little bit sick of it.
And again, I think any of us, whether you love the play or like, they do it a lot, if it's 95% and it converts a first down, nobody's going to complain to you, right? Because that just moves the chains. All right, let's
move. Yeah.
But if it starts being an 80% or less play, I don't want to see it anymore.
And then I think it's we're seeing it at a frequency now where it just feels like our offense is inept. I think there's a lot of things that go into why people don't like the tush push anymore. It was almost a money down. I don't have a problem with that part. I think it's more because of the way the offense looks as a whole.
Actually, the offense looks pretty good.
I mean, as far as running the ball.
And well, they threw the ball well on Sunday.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They need to throw the ball a little bit better.
I agree.
Feel like in order for this team for us to be comfortable with it, it has to be more balanced in that sense. I know nobody has a problem with us running the football, but I think that it has to be more. You have to get more of the passing game involved for people not to be as down on the tush push like they are.
215-592-9494. We're here in the tush push right now, and a lot to talk about with the game. I am very confident the Eagles are going to win and win big. I'm to the point where I'm halfway looking at the game Thursday. Like I'm past the Cowboys. I'm on the Commanders on Thursday. The Eagles should blow the doors off this team. Cooper Rush, poor defense, no running game. This is a win for the Eagles. We have Hughes a little bit scared.
I'm just saying. Don't overlook. You should never overlook anybody.
Brick by brick, Joe. Any given
brick
Sunday.
Brick by brick.
Yeah, this should be a lock win for the Eagles. And if it's not, then we got a problem here. And do you need to see a blowout? Kyle and I need to see a blowout. Like, we want a domination of the Cowboys. Hugh, I think, is okay with sneaking out a win over Cooper Rush. Are you going to feel good coming here Monday if they win by a field goal?
I feel good if they get a W.
If they win by a field goal over Cooper Rush, you feel good?
Yes.
Oh, come on, Hugh. Plus, we're looking today for the best rivalries. We're giving away, as Hugh would call it, the biggest prize ever. Is that
in
it?
Ever, yes.
In ever. The biggest giveaway, well, certainly in the history of the Midday Show. We're doing that over the next few weeks on the show. It is called CombOcon. It's Midday Show's ultimate tailgate giveaway, sponsored by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances. All right, you enter by winning today or tomorrow or the next day or, you know, all the days moving forward. We're entering 10 qualifying winners. And if you're one of those 10, you get it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chance to win a grand prize of a Jack Daniels Yeti cooler, cornhole set, giant Jenga, plus a Gerhard smoker and 55-inch TV. Let's go to the phone lines here. Donald in Chester. Hey, Donald.
Donald.
What's up? What's up, fellas?
Hey, Donald.
How you been?
We're good.
Joe, you're crazy today.
Why?
I'm sorry, Saggy.
Why?
You're crazy.
What did I do? Because I think we're going to beat a bad team?
Joe, listen. Mm-hmm. Listen. The Commanders can wait for us to run the ball down their throat when they load the box, and they can wait until when it's a light, you know what I mean? Or they get this ball thrown over top of their head. So I think you know what I'm trying to say here. So, listen, we're playing the Cowboys such. We're going to go down there, you know what I mean, and we're going to handle business and take it seriously.
Handle business.
As if we was playing the Bengals all over again. That's what we're going to do. As if Prescott was playing, even though Cooper Rush is playing, but we're going to go down there and smash them, and then we'll worry about the Commanders. We're not overlooking Cowboys.
We don't have the luxury to overlook anybody.
No, we can. We can overlook this Cowboys team.
Because the thing is, we want to make sure, because if you want that three-digit, you want that three-digit win, then you tell Sirianni, mm-hmm. you know, to stay out of it. They tell him stay out of it. Let Jake Elliott kick as many field goals to add to the touchdowns, and we'll get our three digit that way. But I'm not looking toward the Commanders because we need it because the truth is starting Sunday. The reason why we should start Sunday, we need to get Chipley and Gainwell much more involved in the running game. We need to start on Sunday.
I would agree
with that.
You know
what I'm saying? And smash them and be back up I-95 by 9 o'clock tonight, you know, on Sunday night.
So, all right, Donald, do you need to see a dominant victory, or are you like Hugh, you're okay with just a field goal win or something?
Well, honestly, if you want my opinion, I think that it's going to be a dominant blowout.
Oh, so all right, so deep down, you know they're going to beat this team.
So it's going to be a beatdown.
Yeah, because simply by the offensive approach, we are. I just think so.
Well, I like that, and I expect the same thing. All right, Donald, what do you got for us today? Great rivalry.
Oh, okay, I got to go college football again, too, and it has to be Army-Navy.
Army-Navy is a good one. All right, Donald, that's a really good one. I like that better than the Penn State-Ohio State. Like, that's all right.
Yeah, they ain't been in the Big Ten by what, 10 years, 15? No, it's longer than that.
Who's that?
Penn State.
Oh,
Ohio State, by what, 20?
Always.
No. Because the first year they came into the Big Ten, they won it.
Who's this? Penn State?
Penn State.
We're going back a long time.
We're talking about, like, about 30, I'm going to say they haven't been in the Big Ten less than 30 years?
I can't remember. It's 94 they won their first Big Ten championship. It's been a long time. I mean, yeah.
It's been 91.
They joined in 91.
Okay.
So it's been a good while now. All right, 215-592-9494. Army-Navy is a good answer there.
It is.
All right, but can I just point something out before we go back to the phone lines here? Well, I think, you know, I understand your point that you can't just say a backup quarterback who's won some games, we can just overlook him. But he's not a good quarterback. And when the Eagles have played not good quarterbacks this year, they've done a really good job. Like, go through the games they've played against quarterbacks that are, you know, bottom 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They have held them down. They held down Derek Carr to only 12 points. They held down Big Creepy to 16 points. Daniel Jones to 3 points. And last week, I don't think Lawrence is a good quarterback, right? And Lawrence only scored how many points offensively?
No, I mean, I get what you're saying.
16? How many points is Cooper Rush going to put up?
One of those Browns touchdowns was a field goal block, too.
That's a good point. Did we take that off the original number for you?
I think we'll have to reconvene.
Yeah, we'll make sure we get those numbers fixed up there. You're right. So, all right, let's do the math on this.
We're doing math?
Yeah, we're doing a little math. Against Derek Carr, 12 points allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Against Deshaun Watson, 9 points allowed. Against Daniel Jones, 3 points allowed. Against Trevor Lawrence, they allowed 15 or 16.
BG said the number they put up on their defensive meeting room was 16.
I mean, and Cooper Rush is obviously with that group, right? He's not with the group of Jordan Love or Kirk Cousins or Joe Burrow.
I like how you're trying to make this logical, but everything about this game is illogical, and that's why I feel the way that I do.
They should dominate the game. All right, let's go to End Zone Westchester. What's up, Enzo?
What's up, guys? How we doing today?
Hey, Enzo, what's up? Man?
Joe, I want to talk to you about a mishap you had on Monday when you asked for the best game day question.
What did
you
I do?
You didn't say Eagles game day. You said best game day. That was your question. You didn't say what's the best Eagles game day thing. Two things that have on
well,
game
so
day.
But I think there's an assumption we're in Philadelphia, right? It's WIP. It's the home of the Eagles.
Okay.
I would assume...
What about the Phillies? What about the Flyers? Slow down. Settle down.
But wait, no.
It's not like a game day experience.
It's got a
football
aggressive.
Sunday.
It didn't have to. It could have been. No, wait. It could have been a Phillies thing. We wouldn't have said no to that.
Hey, I just like to get you going like you get us callers going, man.
I'm not going to scream. Today I'm happy. And so we got ourselves a big win coming up on Sunday and then the real game next Thursday.
We do. But we got a game Sunday against NFL players. Mm-hmm. Regardless, he's a second string quarterback. He's still an NFL quarterback. And he's got the second position, not the third position on the team. So he's coming out to win. How many games they lost in a row, Joe?
Three.
You don't think they want to win? You don't think being on a losing bench feels like crap?
So, of course they want to win. The Panthers want to win every week. They've done it like three times in three seasons.
You're comparing the Cowboys to the Panthers?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, when you say they want to win, every team wants to win. Bad teams want to win. They lose.
Yeah, and when you look past the team you're about to face is when you lose that game. You know that. You're just trying to get us going today. That's fine.
No, no. Hold on. I don't expect the Eagles to overlook the Cowboys. I'm overlooking the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. Well, they're not. They're going to win. They're going to get it done. And if they come out with a 3-point victory or a 1-point victory, to me, that's a big W. Don't need to be a landslide, in my opinion.
He's not going to be satisfied. He's not going to be satisfied.
Enzo Douglas over here.
I'll be fine with a W.
Enzo.
Let's go on Sirianni. I need to talk about Sirianni.
Go ahead. You got it.
First and last time. He needs to go.
See, what'd he do?
Now Enzo, him and I find common ground on Sirianni.
What'd he do?
He needs to go. With the talent on this team and the way we're going to build this organization with the guys we got, the young guys we got, he needs to go. We need somebody in there strong on both sides of the ball, a strong head coach that leads and knows both sides of the ball. We need that now. Is he a bad coach? I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but he's not a good coach right now either. He needs more time. But where we are right now with our personnel, he needs to go. We need somebody like, I hate to say it, but Belichick.
Now a winner.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
Champion.
Like, yes, correct. Need that now. We need Jeffrey Lurie and Howie to get on that now.
That's not
we can bring back Nick in 5 years if he wants, but Nick needs to go.
That's not
now, that's quite a theory.
That's
not we dump Nick, bring in Belichick, and then we bring Nick back.
Happen.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't like that dog's not going to hunt.
It could. All right, Enzo, what do you got for us?
Okay,
great rivalry.
What if we lost to the Jaguars last week? Would you have a different take on that if we lost last week?
Ooh. No, I would still have the same take
well,
that
we,
I have.
We didn't lose.
Come on, Hugh.
Because,
we're 6-2.
Hold up, Enzo. What I'm saying is this. Your suggestion is to go into the office today and fire Coach Sirianni because he's not the man for the job.
Well,
right?
I prefer to hear it as we upgrade with Bill Belichick.
Not fired.
No,
he upgrade.
Wants
upgrade.
No, he
yes,
wants
that's
to.
That's what I want.
Enzo, you're being aggressive, and I'm getting a little nervous.
What a nervous Nelly here today.
No, but Enzo, this is what you're asking. You want them to fire Coach Sirianni today, right, and get ready, get Belichick in here to get ready for the Dallas game, right? That's what you're saying.
He'll be fine.
No. Get ready for the Super Bowl.
That's good spin, Enzo.
Stop it. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
So wait a minute. We don't have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl with Bill Belichick over Nick Sirianni.
I don't think so. And let me tell you why. Since we're talking about this in a realistic situation, they are responding to whatever it is Coach Sirianni's doing. They're winning football games. Whether they're doing it the way you like it or not, is that a fact? Because they won. Because like you just pointed out, they won last week, right?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So now you want to bring in another coach that's going to bring in his own philosophy and it's going to change everything. You think that that's going to help us win? No, that's gonna add turmoil because a lot of those guys in that locker room are going to be asking, why did you fire Nick Sirianni and he had us at 6-2? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a question that you're going to have to ask. And a lot of guys that love him, they're going to have a problem with that.
Okay, so my rebuttal to that would be somebody like a Belichick coming in has the experience. He already knows everything that you just said. He sees the big picture. But you want to keep Nick. You think that's going to be better when we hit those good teams in the first playoff game and he makes some stupid decisions? You think Belichick's going to make the change?
See, Enzo's thinking big picture.
Come on, man.
Okay, but this is
chestnut checkers. Chestnut checkers.
First round of the playoffs. If we get out in the first round because of a decision from Nick Sirianni, remember this conversation.
Cut the audio. All right, Enzo.
Okay,
give us a great robbery. What do you got?
Sorry, Hugh. I had to give you that mic drop.
It was a mic drop. Thank you for the mic drop, Enzo.
Was Coke versus Pepsi said yet?
No, it was not.
Let's do it.
It's a good one. Enzo, that's a really good one. We appreciate it. That's an old school rivalry that's still going on. All right, 2-1.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.